a moment, we're going to be singing number 924 is our invitation hymn, and we hope that you'll be prepared as we join together in singing that great hymn. We do want to remind all of you that we will be having services tonight at 6 o'clock. I know it's Super Bowl day, and for all of you that are bent on sitting home and watching the Pittsburgh Steelers get beat, feel free to do that. But then join us again during halftime right here as we worship God. And we appreciate so much all of you that are here. And if you are visiting with us, it's always great to have you in our midst. As Henry has already mentioned, it's always delightful to see other people who come and share that common faith that we all have in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, a lot of the folks that are coming down, no doubt, from up north to the Super Bowl brought a lot of baggage with them. And, you know, we all go through life maybe carrying baggage. Baggage actually is generally thought of as a vehicle to transport or carry various items or from one place to another. And in a figurative sense, it really is sometimes used to mean something brought to a circumstance from the past, from perhaps a hindrance, ingratuity, or a leftover. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning, if you haven't done so already, to the book of Acts chapter 8. You'll see it on the screen. Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 9, the Bible begins to unfold for us a story about a man named Simon. Simon is commonly referred to as a sorcerer. And in the eighth chapter of the book of Acts, beginning in verse 9, the Bible reads this way. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God," and to him they had regard, because out of a long time he had bewitched them with his sorceries. Then Simon himself believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondering and beholding the miracles and the signs that were done. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands that the Holy Spirit was given, then the Bible says that he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, that if perhaps the thought of thine heart might be forgiven thee." And then we see that penitent attitude when he says, "Pray ye the Lord that none of these things will come upon me." We do hear a lot today about baggage. If you were going to take a trip from one city to another, and you were going to board a particular airline, you would know that there is an extra cost that is involved and checking your ticket with that airline. Now, you can carry on a bag, but they charge you. That is, except for Southwest Airlines. And that's not really a plug for them, by the way. But what I am telling you, that it does cost, you know, to actually check your baggage. And a lot of people do that. But you know what? There is an extra cost that is involved when we carry around the spiritual baggage in our life, for it is possible for us to lose our soul. There is a tremendous cost that is involved. Now, the Bible teaches us that people can change. You know, we've all made changes, and you know what? I hope you've seen changes in my life. I've seen changes in yours. I've seen many of you who are involved in the world who have changed, and you have committed your life to God. You've given up that old baggage and you've laid it aside, and now you have picked up the cross and you are following the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. I'm convinced that people can change. In the book of Romans chapter 6, the Bible says that we are to put off the old man, and many have done that in this assembly. The Apostle Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians 6 said, "And such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Now some, though, remain uninfluenced or even influenced in some cases by the past, according to the book of Titus, chapter 1. I want you to think with me this morning on this subject, baggage, and I want to talk about some baggage that we all carry with us from time to time. But I'm convinced that if we become children of God, that we have to lay the baggage aside. Isn't that what Christ asked that young ruler to do, to give up all that he had and come and follow me? And then you'll have treasure in heaven. Isn't that what Christ said in the book of Matthew 16 when he said to pick up the cross and follow me? You have to lay the baggage down in order to pick up the cross. But many are like Simon in that 8th chapter of the book of Acts. Simon became a Christian, but after he became a Christian and he picked up the cross, he wanted to revert back to his old way of living, to his old way of sorcery. So I want you to think with me this morning on things that we have to lay aside. Do you know, number one, that there are many who carry the baggage that we call indolence or laziness? You know, there are a lot of lazy folk in this world. I don't know if you know that or if you've observed that, but I see it every day. People that are just simply lazy and slothful in all that they do. The book of Romans chapter 12 says that we're not to be slothful or slothful. But laziness is a sin before God. In the book of Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 9, the scripture says, "How long wilt thou sleep, O thou sluggard? When will thou arise out of thy sleep," or out of your sleep, depending on which translation you're reading there. Now, you know, sleep is a wonderful thing. I hear people say sometimes, you know, it takes 12 hours a night for me to rest my body. Well, you know, it really doesn't for me. If I get about 5 hours a night, hey, I'm ready to go the next morning. Audrey will tell you I'm up before dawn, and that's really true. But there are some people in life, and I'm not saying you're lazy if you don't get up before dawn. Now, but what I am telling you is that there are a lot of folk in our world that are just simply lazy. We have a lot of people today that are on the welfare rolls of our country that will not work because they believe that they can draw more money from the government than they can outworking somewhere. Folks, again, there is something wrong with that picture. The Bible says, if a man will not work, neither should he eat. Now, I believe that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and 10 says that. For Paul says, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." Now, I believe in helping the poor, and I appreciate our brother who came this morning, Ron Brown, to tell us about the poor people in China, and that's a wonderful thing. But you know what? We have a lot of people in this country that are spiritually poor because they are lazy and they are indolent and they are slothful. And they are unwilling to get a job and go to work. I noticed the Bureau of Statistics this last week said that in the month of January that there were 36,000 new jobs added. And that's a wonderful thing. But you know, I'm afraid sometimes that many people are looking for a position. They are not looking to go to work. And there is a difference between a job and a position. Laziness. Did you know the Bible says that when you become a Christian, you're to start serving God. That means you do something actively with your life. You don't sit on your laurels. You don't just sit around and wait for everybody else to do it or for someone else to do it for you, but you take the initiative and you take the drive and you get up and you do what needs to be done in your life. God has no appreciation at all for people that are lazy and indolent. Not at all. Even God himself taught us the principle of work 6 days and resting on the seventh. That is a principle I believe that God's people ought to follow as well. But then there is another baggage that many people carry around with them, and that is the baggage of immorality. You know, we live in an immoral world. Now, that really hasn't changed so dramatically than perhaps the way it was back many, many years ago, even from the dawn of creation, for the devil was immoral. In the book of John 8:44, the Bible calls him a liar. But we live in an immoral age. You know, someone asked me not long ago, you think the world really is worse now than it was then? Well, now, it all depends on what you're comparing it to. If you're comparing it to the days of Noah, then it certainly is not quite that bad. For the Bible says that the imagination of man's heart was evil continually. And that even from his youth up, he was corrupt. And if you were to compare it to the days of Sodom and Gomorrah in the book of Leviticus 19, then obviously it's not as bad, because God in that great region could not even find 10 righteous folk. But we do live in an immoral age. We live in an age where sin no longer exists in the minds of everybody. Everybody's sick, but they're not sinful. And we make excuse for our sin and for our wrongdoing. And we have almost convinced ourselves that, hey, you know, God accepts anything and everybody regardless of how you live. But that is not true. If you're going to follow Jesus, you have to give up the old baggage. You have to give up the baggage of immorality. And in the book of 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18 through 20, Paul again says to flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, he says. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. We know, he says, what know ye not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Did you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. One thing I learned in the archives of history and in the annals of history is the fact that the temple of God in the Old Testament was to always be kept pure. You didn't taint and you didn't do anything to make the temple of God impure in any way. But the temple of God was always an honored place. And you know what? If God lives in me, and Christ said that, he said the kingdom of God is within you. And if that is true, that means that I must live my life on a holy plane. That means that I must live above the world. And in the book of Romans chapter 12, the Bible says, listen, he says that we're not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We cannot be enmeshed in the immorality of the world and at the same time please God. We have to get rid of the immorality. It cannot be there. And when we don't, it will cost you plenty. There is a cost to sin. Did you know the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 6 that the wages of sin is death? But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But then there is another baggage that people often carry around after they become Christians. And that is the baggage of a materialistic mind. Ron, I appreciate you bringing out this morning in your presentation about the fact that in America, we have become so materialistic, and we have. You know, we live in an age where people are so materialistically minded. You listen to them and what they talk about, what goes through their mind. Everything relates to the economy. I think it was Bill Clinton who said that years ago, wasn't it? But it's true. We live in an age where people think only about the economy, about money, about material things. If we're going to please God, we have to be people of a different spirit. Do you know Christ taught great lessons concerning materialism? Probably none more profound than those found in the book of Luke. And Luke, by the way, being a Gentile, dealt with the materialistic nature of mankind. And in the book of Luke chapter 12, he talked about a man who had a great barn, a place to bestow all of his goods, but it wasn't big enough. It's kind of like us in our world, isn't it? How much? Let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you have money? Come on, folks. You either have it or you don't. How many of you have money in here this morning? It reminds me of the time a preacher said, folks, we could build a new building. We have the money to build a new church building. He said, there's only one problem. He said, it's in your pocket. We all have money. Some have more than others. Some have less than others. But we all have money. We are materialistically blessed in the sense that God gives us that medium of exchange. But sometimes money becomes our God. Like the man in Luke chapter 12 who said, I'll tear down my barns and I'll build greater barns, and there will I bestow all of my goods. And I will say unto my soul, eat, drink, and be merry. And God says unto him something that he never ever said to anyone else. You know what he said? He said to that rich man, you are a fool. A fool. A fool. And then he went on to say in the 15th verse of chapter 12, he said that man's life consisteth not of the things which he possesseth. But you know what? That's not the way we think, because mankind in general thinks about the fact that an individual is successful if he has a lot of money. You got money, you've been successful. You listen to people talk. You would ask someone, is Bill Gates successful? Someone, oh yeah, he's got lots of money. Ross Perot. I mean, we could go on and on. And we generally say that a man has been highly successful in life. But you know what? We've got some successful fools in our world. Money is not the essence of life. You cannot take it with you. You can't. Many are disillusioned by their wealth. A lot of people think they can take it with them, but you can't. People hoard up their money. In the book of 1 John 2, verse 15 and 17, John writes, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And these are not of the Father, but it is of the world, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You cannot take it with you. You cannot. Now, there are a lot of people that believe that, but it isn't going to happen. So we have to get rid of the materialistic mind. But then that brings me to another bag that many wag along. And that is the baggage of guilt. I've seen people who became children of God but just couldn't get rid of the guilt. I think I told you one time when I was living in Natchitoches, Louisiana, and going to the university there, and working with the church, there was a young man who had been hooked on drugs. And he wanted to become a Christian. I studied with him, he obeyed the gospel, surrendered his life to Jesus, and began to honor him. And you know, he came to me, I don't know how often, he says, you know, I know that I have been baptized and I know you've done what the Bible teaches, but it's so hard for me to believe that God has forgiven me. It is so hard for me to get rid of the guilt. And you know what? Many of us are chained to the past. Many of us live in the past. Many of us regress and we go back to our own sinful condition because of the guilt that we carry around in our life, because many do not really believe that they have been forgiven. Let me remind you this morning, did you know, if you stop and think about the thief on the cross in the book of Luke chapter 23 verse 42 and following there, you would understand that God is a forgiving God. You know, the Bible says that there were two thieves, one on either side of Jesus. And one began to say all kinds of evil things unto Jesus. And the other thief on the other side turned to him and he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. God could forgive that man on the cross, just as God forgives us when we surrender unto his will. And we don't have to live with guilt. I'm going to tell you, one of the most horrible things in our world today to deal with is guilt. Guilt will cause a person to take a trip on drugs. Guilt will cause a man to get involved in alcoholism and try to drown his troubles away. Guilt will cause a man to take his own life. I couldn't begin to tell you the number of young people that are dying today all across America simply because of guilt in their life. Maybe a one-night stand. When they gave up their virginity. It may be something they did in their life. And the guilt pangs are still there. And it's so hard for them to deal with it. I have preached funerals for young people. I have preached funerals for men and women in midlife and even in old age who took their life because of guilt that was so difficult for them to deal with day in and day out. God can forgive. I think of the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 38, when these who had crucified Jesus cried out and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that these people rejoiced. Did you ever notice that when people really became Christians and they understood that God could take away all their old baggage and that God could take away even their guilt, that they could rejoice? As was the case of the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8 when the Bible says that he went on his way rejoicing. You and I can do the same thing. Those on the day of Pentecost were forgiven because they were cleansed. And we can be forgiven as well. In the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, the Bible says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I believe that America needs healing today, and I believe that God is healing us. But I know one thing, that we all individually need healing spiritually in our lives. And I believe that God can do that right now, just as he has always done it. And he will do it. In Isaiah 55 and verse 7, the scripture says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Let me tell you, when God takes away our sin, he takes away our guilt. The stains of guilt. In Proverbs 28 and 13, the Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. God is a merciful God. And aren't you thankful? Well, that brings me to the last point this morning, and that is that there is another bag that we sometimes carry around with us after we become Christians and start trying to follow God, and that is the baggage that we call bitterness. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. If I haven't touched you this morning with guilt and indolence, and slothfulness and perhaps a materialistic mind, I know one thing. That there have been times in your life when you have been bitter and angry at other folk. Bitterness is a horrible thing. The book of Hebrews says that we're to cut it off at the root, lest it spring up in our life. And in the book of Ephesians 4 and verse 31, the Bible says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor be put away from you with all malice. You know, sometimes it is easy for us to get bitter at life. It is. Anybody ever do something to you that caused you to get bitter to them or with them? Maybe they didn't treat you right. Maybe they didn't do something they should have done, and you got bitter with them, and you've been harboring it in your heart for years. I was holding a gospel meeting one time, a revival, and I'll never forget a man who came forward in that meeting, and he made the statement to me. He said, "You know what? I have been carrying around this bitterness in my heart for 25 years, and I want God to release it from me. I want to be forgiven." Sometimes the hardest thing in life to learn is which bridge to cross and which bridge to burn. Sometimes people can be so unkind. Have you noticed that? I heard about a lady the other day who was a very famous poet, and she actually handed, or someone handed this poem to this poet, explaining, and she said, "No, the Lord gave me this poem. I'd like for you to read it." Well, the poet scanned it for a little bit and what she had written, and then he wadded it up and he threw it down and he said, "The Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken away." Well, that's not exactly the way it reads. But you know what? There are some people in life who say things to us, their words cut very deeply and they hurt immensely, and we get bitter. And I've heard people even say, "You know what, if it's the last thing that I do, I will never forgive her or I will never forgive him." Stop and think about it, folks. We all stand in need of forgiveness. And Jesus said in that model prayer that he taught the disciples to pray, "Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." That's a mighty big bag to be carrying around, isn't it? Someone sent me a thing the other day. It was called The Law of the Garbage Truck. I want you to listen to this. One man said, "One day I hopped in a taxi and we took off for the airport. We were driving in the right lane when suddenly a black car jumped out of a parking space right in front of us." Ever happened to y'all? "My taxi driver slammed on his brakes, skidded, and missed the other car by just inches. The driver of the other car whipped his head around and stared and yelling at us. My taxi driver just smiled and waved at the guy. And I mean, he really wasn't. He was friendly. So I asked, 'Why did you do just that, what you did? And this guy almost ruined your car and sent us to the hospital.' And this is when the taxi driver taught me what I now call the law of the garbage truck. He explained that many people are like garbage trucks. They run around full of garbage, full of frustration and bitterness and full of anger and full of disappointment. As their garbage piles up, they need a place to dump it, and sometimes they just dump it on you. Now, don't take it too personally." He said, "Just smile and wave, wish them well, and move on. Don't take their garbage and spread it to other people at work, at home, or on the streets. The bottom line is that successful people do not let garbage trucks take over their day." But you know what? Many of us do. Many of us go through life allowing other people to dictate what we're going to do and how we are going to live. We have to get rid of the bitterness in our life if we are going to please God. I know one thing, the chances of me going to heaven would be very, very remote until I give up the baggage called bitterness. It must go. Wouldn't it be better to take Jesus along with you instead of carrying all of that excess baggage? Wouldn't it really? He said, "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out or turn away." Your load is not too heavy for Jesus. You see, he paid the price for your baggage. It's already paid for. You don't have to pay it again. Jesus paid it all at the cross. And Jesus wants you and he wants your baggage. Wouldn't it be better to let Jesus carry you? He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your soul. Matthew 11 and verse 28. Do you know that Jesus is waiting for you to come to him now? He is. He wants you to be baptized for the remission of your sins. But that, my friend, is a choice that you must make. You can either carry your old baggage around with you day in and day out, weighted down by the guilt, weighted down by the materialism, weighed down by all of the bitterness that you harbor in your heart, or you can give it up to Christ, and you can be baptized and be forgiven of every sin that you've committed in your life and no longer have to experience and carry around the baggage of guilt. Or you can come and restore yourself in a relationship with God that you once had before you picked up the baggage again. We all at times have to stop and think and reevaluate where we are in life, what really is important to us. I know one thing. It has been said that time is a passport, but it's not. It is a visa, and it runs out fast. James said, your life is like a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. Your time may run out today. You know, I said last Sunday, if you remember, I said last Sunday, quite possible that when we dismiss today, that some of you may not be here next Lord's Day when we meet together with God, because life is so short, life is so brief, and death comes so suddenly. And one of our dear friends, George Ward, has gone to be with God this morning. He passed from this life. He sat and heard his last gospel sermon last Sunday in this audience, just like you're sitting. I know one thing, that death is swift and death is sure. And there is no lease on life. There is no promise of tomorrow. That's why I don't carry around excess baggage. But I allow Jesus Christ to carry my bags for me. And I hope you'll let him carry yours while we stand and while we sing.
Just as I